This podcast is sponsored by Jabra Enhance.
How are your hearing aids sounding now?
A little tinny.
Okay, 2 seconds.
With Jabra Enhance Select's premium package, better hearing doesn't happen in a doctor's office. It happens at home, all done remotely from initial testing to adjustments.
How are they sounding now?
Fantastic.
You get the same advanced hearing aid technology and professional support you expect from a clinic at a fraction of the cost. And if you have any issues, we'll make adjustments 7 days a week, no charge.
Oh, you people are wonderful.
Our premium package includes hearing aids, 3 years of follow-up care, plus a 3-year warranty with loss and damage coverage, and a 100-day money-back guarantee.
I hear better than I ever thought possible.
And now, for a limited time, save $100 when you order Jabra Enhance Select Hearing Aids with promo code PODCAST. Go to jabraenhance.com. Enter promo code PODCAST to save. JabraEnhance.com, code PODCAST.
For eligible individuals 18 and older in 50 United States and Washington, D.C. with mild to moderate hearing loss only, audiology team may not be able to program hearing aids for some types of hearing loss. See website for details and important safety information.
This week's episode of the Midlife Male Podcast is brought to you in part by Kineon, the makers of the Move Plus portable light therapy device that uses LED lights and medical grade laser technology to improve blood flow to injured and inflamed areas. This is great for your shoulder, your bicep, knee pain, any of your injuries. I started testing this out about 90 days ago. It's an incredible device. It takes just 5 minutes a day, about 5 days a week, to put the infrared lights. They have a strap. You wrap it around your knee, your elbow, your shoulder. And at 50 years old, over the past 90 days, I have seen significant improvement in my range of motion, decrease in inflammation. I'm feeling better. I have less pain, faster recovery. And I have been testing and retesting this. And I have come to the conclusion that the Kineon Move Plus flat out works. It helps to restore damaged blood vessels, encourages cartilage regrowth as somebody who has had 3 knee surgeries, reducing joint pain and inflammation quickly through whole joint coverage, with sniper-like accuracy and cutting-edge dual-light enhanced light therapy. It's hugely important to me to be efficient and effective in its application, its delivery, and the results. There's a lot of red light therapy products out there. Most of them do not deliver the right dosage to be as effective as they could be, and that is key to optimal results. The Kineon Move Plus dual light tech delivers the deeper joint penetration and the exact right dosage for fast recovery. It goes right up against your skin. You don't have to worry, am I too close? Am I too far? Where do I stand? How do I do this? It is so simple. I use it pre-workout. Sometimes I use it post-workout. I'll put it on in the car when I'm on the way to the gym. I can work with it on whatever, 5 minutes a day, to help alleviate chronic joint pain, inflammation, whatever you are experiencing, knees, elbows, shoulders, necks, the Kineon Move Plus can help you. Check it out, guys. Head over to Kineon, that's Kineon.io /midlifemale. You're going to get 10% off with my code midlifemale. Each module is battery powered. They include a rapid recharge device. I use the USB in my computer to charge it up so you can recover anywhere at any time, at home or on the go. Huge believer in the Kineon Move Plus. Check it out. Hey guys, Greg Scheinman here. It is another episode of the Midlife Male Podcast. Thank you this week and every week for joining me here. It is a pleasure and a privilege to get to do this, and I am grateful for each and every one of you who tune in, listen to the podcast, and have helped keep the Midlife Male movement growing. We are over 200 episodes. We have an incredible lineup this season on the podcast, starting with today's guest, Gary Sanchez, who I'm going to fill you in on in just a minute. But if you like what you hear on the show, please give us that 5-star rating, leave us a positive review, share the program with your friends and your family on your social. Keep us growing out there. That is what it takes. For everything else, head over to midlifemail.com. You can download my free No BS guide to maximizing middle age. You can pick up a copy of my new book. You can subscribe to the free weekly newsletter and have that dropped in your inbox every Sunday morning. You can make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, and you can stay up on all things Midlife Mail, including my one-on-one coaching offerings, which are out there, my keynote and motivational speaking, which is going on around the country. And there's some really, really cool stuff. Also, the special offers from the brand partners that make everything possible here. So without further ado, I think that's how you say that. Let's talk about Gary Sanchez, who is the founder of the Why Institute. And he has helped hundreds of thousands of individuals discover their why. He is also an international speaker, an author, a dentist, which we talk about, an inventor. And he figured out his why. And he is best known for discovering the 9 whys and developing the YOS, Why Operating System. You guys know, if you've been following me and listening to me for a while, I'm all about personal operating systems and how you live by having a personal operating system. Before you can develop your own personal operating system and the how to do that, it's important to understand your why. Gary's the founder of the Why Institute and creating the world's first why discovery tool to help people accurately and quickly discover their why in less than 5 minutes. Now, I have taken the YOS assessment, and I can attest that it is spot on accurate. This is a super valuable tool that has helped me to become a better coach, a better husband, a better father, a better provider, by understanding how I'm wired, what my why is, so I can apply my how. You've heard me talk about that a lot. We spend so much time focusing on our why that we often don't focus enough time on how. Well, what YOS does, and the discovery, is you can find out your why and discover it in less than 5 minutes, and then start focusing the majority of your time and attention into implementing and designing the how. He's created software that has impacted over 1 billion people. And this YOS discovery, which helps you not only discover your why, but your how and your what, enables you to create your personal brand message. So with that, let's get to Gary Sanchez, DDS. And we're going to talk about the transition from dentistry into full-fledged Why Guy and founder of the Why Institute on this week's episode of the Midlife Mail podcast. Great to see you and hear from you, Gary. Welcome.
Thank you, man. I'm excited to be here, Greg. This is going to be fun.
This is great with the shoes on the other foot right now. You were gracious enough to have me on your podcast. We recorded that a week ago. We said, okay, let's flip it around. Let's get you over here on Midlife Mail, because what you are doing is so important and so impactful for everyone, quite frankly, but yeah. In particular, you know, the narrow and deep lane that I stay in of Midlife Males, and you were cool enough also to send me my why assessment, my discovery assessment. And this thing was so spot on. And I'm like, okay, we got to talk about this. So first and foremost, welcome. And let's get in.
Okay. You want me to take you back? And, you know, so I was a dentist for 32 years. And so I know what it's like to be in that rat race because it is. It's a challenge, and it's easy to lose yourself in what you do versus why you do what you do. And go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to, like, and I don't want to cut you off, but like now I'm fascinated because I didn't see this one coming. The leap from dentistry to why.
Yep. So when I got out of dental school in 1988, the advice that I was given from the gurus, the experts of that time, was build a great product and people will come, right? I'm sure you heard the same thing, right? Go out and do the best job you can. People will naturally, mysteriously find out about you and they'll come see you. So I spent 20 years doing that, reaching the highest levels you could go to in dentistry, studying with the best mentors, going to the best institutes, building a beautiful practice, buying all the technology, training a well-trained or having a well-trained team. And I still blended in with everybody else who said, yeah, I'm a dentist too, right? My nephew's a dentist, probably just like you. It drove me crazy. I'd never worked so hard at something, put so much energy and effort into becoming an expert in my field and feeling like a well-kept secret. And I remember, Greg, just listening one day in my operatories, and it was just silent because I didn't have patience. You know, it wasn't growing like I thought I would. And I remember my heart just pounding, thinking, how could this have happened to me? How could I have worked so hard at this and not gotten the results that I thought I would? And I was ready to just quit. I'd had enough of this, man. It was a long road and I was putting in a lot of hours. And that's when I decided to go out and hire a coach. I hired a guy by the name of John Assaraf. Are you familiar with John Assaraf?
I'm not, no.
Did you ever see the movie, The Secret?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was the guy in the movie with the vision boards.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was John Assaraf. And so through him, I learned how to use the internet. I learned how to do websites, drip campaigns, SEO, so that I could then tell my message to the world. I could tell everybody how wonderful I was. But that was the problem. What am I going to say? What am I going to say that separates me from everybody else who does what I do? What am I going to say that doesn't make me sound desperate or like I actually need new patients? And since I didn't know what to say, I just stayed quiet until one day I heard him interview Simon Sinek. And I'm sure you're familiar with Simon Sinek, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wrote the book, Start With Why, one of the most watched TED Talks of all times. And so I heard that interview and I said, man, that's what I'm missing. I got a great what, but I don't know my why. So I watched his TED Talk probably 20, 30 times. I bought his book and read it multiple times. And I was like, I need to find my why. So I called Simon. I said, Simon, I need you to help me discover my why. So he and I spent about 8 months together going back through my life, looking for clues as to why I do what I do. And finally, I kept working with it and working with it. And I finally figured it out that my why is to find a better way and then share it, to find a better way and share it. I've got lots of patents and products and inventions that are all better ways of doing things. And then I share them with the world. And so my life made so much sense once I figured out what my why was. So I took what I learned from John Assaraf and I took what I learned from Simon Sinek and I created this whyification process for my practice where we stop talking about what we do, crowns, bridges, fillings, all that fun stuff. And we started talking about why we do what we do and what we believe. And we believe that life is better when you have great teeth. In fact, you can't have a good life with bad teeth. And the right people started coming to us. My practice just took off. We went from just getting by to having abundance. I practiced with my brother, and his name is Greg as well. So we went from just getting by to having abundance. And abundance is so much more fun than just getting by. Most fun, most satisfaction, most revenue, just a much better time. So I started getting calls from other dentists that wanted me to help them do what I did. And so since my why is to find a better way, I went back and figured out what Simon was trying to do and I made it better. So instead of taking 6 or 8 or 10 months to help someone discover their why, I could sit down with you in about an hour and help you discover your why. I figured out the right questions to ask to get to them. And then I could, so I started doing this for anybody that would let me. If you were sitting next to me on an airplane, you're going to get your why discovered. If I meet you out in a social event, I'm probably going to sit and discover your why. And remember, I'm a dentist now. So I have all these patients sitting in the chair there. So I took them all, those poor patients. I took them all through discovering their why. And I started doing this all over the world on stages, on Skype. I'd bring somebody out of the audience on stage with me. I would help them discover their why in front of the audience. And then I would build their messaging and marketing and branding right there on the spot for them. And so in doing this, so many, I started to notice patterns and trends and similarities. And I figured out, Greg, that there's only 9 different whys. And once I figured that out, that was the most important thing that I discovered. Once I figured that out, Then I could teach other people to do what I was doing. And then I could get more data. And with that data, I was able to develop the algorithm and write the software where in 2016, we launched the Why Institute and the Why Discovery that would find your why way more accurately than I would in about 5 minutes. And so I've done more Why Discoveries than anybody in the world. And I was only about 70% accurate. So 30% of the time I was wrong. If everything you do, your passion, your purpose, your direction, your messaging, your marketing, your branding is all based on your why, you think it'd be important that your why is correct, right?
And so Absolutely, yes.
So that's why developing a way to be more accurate and be able to scale was so important. And then in 2021, we launched the YOS Discovery, which you took, which finds your why, your how, your what, and creates your message for you. So that's the real quick version of how the heck I got here. I never figured this is what I would be doing. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, hey, you're going to be on stages all over the world speaking about this thing called why, not a chance. Just wasn't what I thought I would be doing.
So I'm curious there too. So it worked for you. You had your conversations, okay, with the leading why authorities at the time. It worked for you. It took you from a place of a position kind of scarcity and challenges and questions to a place of abundance in your practice and with your brother in there. And then now that you've reached abundance, you're having all this fun, business is going well, you've applied for this. When did you decide, hey, guess what? I'm actually not going to be this unbelievable abundant dentist that I've trained my entire life for. Now our career, our practice, everything is it's going so well based on what I've learned that I'm going to go and do something completely different that nobody would have said I was going to do. That's a big, bold risk taker move right there.
Yeah. And it wasn't planned either. You know, I could have just wrote it out. My practice, I was working 3 days a week, making a lot of money. Everything was on autopilot, you know, doing really well. But I went to this, thing called Zozobra in Santa Fe, kind of like a Burning Man type thing. It was a buddy's 45th birthday. And there was a bunch of us that went. And of course we ate and drank too much. And I wake up the next morning with a headache. And so I go down to the front desk of this hotel and I ask if I could take a couple of, if they had any Advil. So they gave me a couple of Advil. Took those, went to bed, didn't think anything of it. One of the Advil didn't dissolve and it went down and lodged into my GI tract and burnt a hole right where I had an artery. And I started to bleed and I didn't know it. And so I drive back to Albuquerque where I'm from, just not feeling good. And then I start getting sick and blood's coming out of both ends of me. And I thought, this is not a good thing. So I went to the ER and it was a busy weekend. So I ended up waiting 11 hours in the ER. And they finally admitted me. I'd lost half of my blood and my blood pressure was 60 over 30. So I had to, blood in your GI tract acts like a laxative. So you have to go to the bathroom all the time. So I got up to go to the bathroom, but I wasn't in a private room. So I locked the door behind me. And as soon as I locked the door, I passed out and then hit my head on the sink and I ended up on the floor and luckily I woke up. I don't know how long I was there, but I woke up and I was just blood everywhere. So I pushed the door open and then I passed out and somebody found me. And then the next thing I know, I wake up and I'm in a bed with all my clothes cut off and I got these two pads on me and they revived me. It's kind of crazy. I know you weren't expecting this story, but I know. And so they rushed me into surgery, tried to get to that bleed. They couldn't get to it. So they just kind of said, let's wait and see what happens. They did a CAT scan to make sure to see if I'd stop bleeding. And then in doing so, you know, they test the IV. And when they tested it, I was like, man, that didn't feel very good. And the guy says, I think you're fine. So they start pumping in the dye and it blow out my arm. And so my arm swells up and then I get these blood clots that are growing into my lungs and a bleed in my GI tract. So the doctor walks in and says, hey, Gary, we've got to treat those blood clots because if they get into your lungs, you're going to die. But if we treat those blood clots, we can't get to the bleed to stop the bleed. So you're going to die from the bleed. And I said, well, that's wonderful. What are we going to do? And they says, I don't know. And I said, that's not good enough. You know, so luckily my phone rang in that moment, and it was a buddy of mine that I play golf with. That's a cardiologist at that hospital. And he said, hey, Gary, I was looking over the list of people here and I saw your name and I don't like what they're going to do. And he said, I'm going to take over. So he took over and monitored what happened while I was there. And eventually what did happen is I was in the ICU for 9 days. A lot of crazy stuff happens in there. I don't know if you've ever been in the ICU, but it's a pretty crazy experience. And eventually what happened is I had to go to bed one night with an IV of heparin in, hoping that I wouldn't bleed. And obviously I didn't, and I made it through the night. And then they were able to put me on blood thinners and stop all the blood clots. But when I got back to my office, one of my patients, an elderly patient, said, hey, Gary, let me ask you a question. When you get to 80 and you look back on your life, are you going to wish, are you going to be glad that you stayed a dentist? Or are you going to regret that you didn't take the why to the world? And I said, I'm going to regret that I didn't take the why to the world. And he said, well, I think you have your answer on what you need to do. So that's when I sold my practice and I just walked away. I said, this is what I got to go do. I feel like I've solved one of life's bigger challenges, discovering your why. And if I don't bring it to the world, I know I'll have regrets. And so that's why I walked away. I know you were not expecting that story in any way, but that's actually what happened.
It's really, boy, I was not expecting that, but you know, I think we talked about this a little bit even on your show, the Jim Rohn quote about, you know, the pain of discipline and the pain of regret, you know, and that the pain of discipline, you know, weighs ounces while the pain of regret weighs tons. And it gets into the choices we make. You know, when we talk about, you know, how we make choices, how we make decisions, you know, overall. And to be able to make the choice that's right for us so that we do not live with regret. You look back later on and we've all read about, you know, the five wish, you know, of the dying, I wish I didn't work so much, you know, all the regrets that they have, you know, later on. So I see it from that perspective very much too, that what we're really doing right now, particularly in middle age, is that, okay, how do we live life by design? How do we look to reduce and eliminate regret? How do we make better choices and decisions and stop seeing this period of aging or midlife as something to fear, but rather see it as something aspirational, you know, and take these experiences, you know, traumatic like yours, you know, whether they're positive, whether they're negative, whether they're traumatic, life-threatening, whatever these tipping point moments, you know, are.
Yeah.
What do we do, you know, from there to keep moving forward? So I think it's thank you for sharing. And it's amazing how healthy, obviously, you are now, and you've come full circle. And here you are, you know, combining what I like to call, you know, professional expertise, you know, with, you know, you've got personal passion that you've combined with professional expertise, you know, right now. This episode of the Midlife Male podcast is brought to you by Bubs Naturals. Bubs' commitment to excellence begins long before the products land on your doorstep. You guys know how seriously I take my coffee. It's a big deal to me. Bubs Naturals makes the best coffee out there. I go with the dark roast. I absolutely love it. Equally as important, they make the best collagen protein, grass-fed, pasture-raised from Brazil. I put a scoop of it in with their dark roast coffee every morning, and it is absolutely delicious. Their MCT oil powder, I put a scoop of that in there. It's derived from 100% sustainably sourced coconuts, which is also great for me. While I am not plant-based or vegan, I eat a considerable amount of meat. It's great for me to complement that with a product that is not layering on more and things that I don't need more of. So using the MCT oil, their powder that's plant-based and vegan really helps me out. All of their product offerings are free of gluten, soy, nuts, and corn. The whole lineup, keto approved, paleo approved, Whole 30 approved, they're NSF certified, nut-free, soy-free, dairy-free, GMO-free, corn-free. Bubs Natural delivers. You can go to their website. You can customize your own trio. You can get the Bubs Brew, the Halo Creamer, which is also fantastic, the collagen protein, the MCT oil. It's awesome. All of it. I love the people behind it. I love the mission of the company. They give back to charity. Woven into the DNA of Bubs Naturals is that of professional athletes, top performers, rabble-rousers, Navy SEALs, and the goal is to exceed your expectations in everything that they do. It's backed by scientific research and discovery and an endless pursuit to find the fountain of youth. It's Midlife Male approved. It's a Midlife Male mission. We are not anti-aging. We are pro-aging positively, gracefully, aggressively. So I say yes to Bubs Natural. I say yes to quality. I say yes to going over to bubsnaturals.com, using promo code MidlifeMail, saving yourself 15%. Check it out. So you sell the practice, and now you are the full-time why guy. Okay. Now, wanting to take it to the world is a big vision. How you take an idea through execution is another thing that fascinates me. You know, listen, I want to help men maximize middle age. The new Everest is help 1 million men maximize middle age. You know, you crawl and you walk and you run. First, it's one guy. You know, it says he likes what you're putting out there, you know, then it's somebody listening to the podcast, you know, and instead of it being a tree falling in the woods, here we are. Then it's a newsletter. Then it's a book, as you said, then it's stages and so on. And all of a sudden it gets bigger. Help me, you know, walk us through your process of idea to execution. You know, now you got it.
Well, I can tell you, and I want to set your audience at ease because I have made a ton of mistakes. I have done a ton of things wrong. I didn't walk into, you know, what does a dentist know about bringing the why to the world? I mean, nothing. That's so far away from what I was doing. And I made a lot of mistakes and I've wasted a lot of money and I've made a lot of wrong turns. But I think it goes back to passion. You know, if you're passionate about what you do, passion is the fuel that gives you the energy to pursue your dreams. Without passion, you're going to give up. You don't have that energy. And I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. And I'd done dentistry for 32 years and it was a great career, but I wasn't passionate about it like this. I cannot turn this off. I can go 24/7 every day. I'm just thinking about it, working on it. And so if I make a mistake, that just tells me what's not going to work. And I just keep going. So this started as just a conversation with a friend who was struggling. After I figured out my why, I had a buddy who was really struggling. And we sat down. I said, well, let me try to help you discover your why. And so I took him through what I knew. I mean, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I probably didn't get anywhere close. And then I just helped another friend, and I just would see their eyes light up when they got their why, at least what we thought was in that at that time. And I just became kind of like, it was like a high to help people discover their why. It was a better way. I was showing them a better way. When you get to live your why, that's when you have passion. So there's a really important thing for everybody to know or to hear is that when what you choose to do with your life is in line with your YOS, your why, how, and what, you will love what you do and you will have passion for what you do and you will have unlimited energy for what you do. If what you choose to do is not in line with your YOS, you can still do it and you can do it well, but you'll run out of energy. Mm. And so I had unlimited energy for this and I just never stopped. I never quit. And I still don't quit moving forward. Is every decision I make perfect now? No. Do I still make plenty of mistakes? Yes. Do I still get my butt kicked all the time? Yes. But I just keep going and keep going and keep going. And eventually I'll run out of things to do wrong, hopefully, start doing some of these things right. But we have, I mean, we've made a lot of progress, and it's kind of going, you know, all over the world, and there's a lot of great stuff happening, but it's taken a long time and a lot of mistakes to get there. So for those of you that are thinking about changing directions, not necessarily going to be easy, but sure as heck is going to be fun and very rewarding. So my recommendation, if you can, take the leap, because you won't regret it.
Mm. You know, you said, okay, as you were talking about this, it's the mistakes, and let me go down this path. And I go, you know, 200 episodes into doing this podcast and countless mistakes there too. I've yet to have anybody that comes on that is a successful individual that talks about their successes. Meaning like, okay, you know, let me just tell you how simply this went, okay, and how well it went, okay, and how the line continually went up in the right direction, and it's an unbroken line. And let me just say, I put this together, I wrote the business plan, and everything went exactly as it planned. It doesn't work like that. No. It's that this success is really this byproduct of these repeated kind of failures, mistakes, costs, situations, circumstances, and the ability to somehow grit and grind it out and persevere and come out the other side. And most would say, even like you, no matter where they are, I still am not out the other side. I'm closer to the end of the tunnel, if you will. Maybe I see a little bit of light there. Yes, I'm enjoying some fruits of my labor or societal metrics of success, but we still have a ways to go.
We got a long ways to go.
I don't care what business anyone has been in. Those stories seem to be pretty much universal for every guy that I bring on. And I'd be willing to bet also, this would be interesting, that those guys have a very, like your contemporaries, you've done what you've done, have a pretty good idea of what their why is. And it's in alignment with what they're doing professionally. And therefore that passion exists. And it's filling their tank rather than draining it. Versus that large subsection of men, quite frankly, that I hear from quite often, and I think are out there listening right now, that are dealing with conformity, complacency, redundancy. You know, maybe they'll still do it like you described, but here's what's happening. Okay. The energy is starting to run out. The runway is starting to get shorter, and the questions become bigger and the challenges become bigger and feel bigger. Is this going to be it? How do I work through this, around this, over it? And I think we touched on this before I even hit the button. We get the top line why you want to be a better dad, why you might want to quit your job and follow your passion, if you actually even know what your passion is. Mm-hmm. Better husbands, better fathers, better everything. I get that why. Mm-hmm. A lot of them don't know how, but I really think the not knowing how also comes down to they don't really know the deeper why, yeah, which would enable them to actually, with or without a coach or any, however they want to get there, really drill down on the how to get them where I think those pieces run together. And I've written a lot about the how, mm-hmm, over the why, which is why when I took the YOS for the second time, it landed much harder based on how much how I've been working on with so many different guys. Do you think, is there anything to that?
For sure. So, Greg, the typical path that I see people, myself included, take, and maybe this happened with you, is we're back in high school now, and our parents' friends say, "Hey, Greg, what are you going to do with your life?" And you're like, "I don't know. How am I supposed to know?" "Well, Greg, where are you going to go to college?" "Well, I don't know. How am I supposed to pick a college?" And off to college we go, if we do go, to the place that seemed like the most fun, right? And here we are in college. And then you have to pick a major. So I had a major of undeclared for as long as I could possibly have it. And then you reach that day where they say, "Greg, you're going to have to declare a major." And, you know, we almost have an emotional breakdown or mental breakdown. And we go start working with these counselors to try to figure out what to major in. And I majored in the only thing I was getting a good grade in, which was biology. And so I became a biology major. Whew, now I'm off the hook. But 6 months later, they're going to say, okay, now what are you going to do with that major? Well, heck, how am I supposed to know what I'm going to do with it? So then you have to pick a career based on your major. So I ended up picking dentistry just because I knew a little bit about it because my dad was a dentist. Off to dental school I go, you get out, and then you start accumulating things, cars, houses, kids, spouses, and you're like, crap, now I'm stuck in this career because I never really thought about it before. And now I got at least 18 years till my kid gets older before I can really change because I can't leave them hanging. And now say you're 40, 45, 50, and you're like, this isn't what I wanted to do. I just had to do it because I have to support my family. And now at that age, you say, okay, now I'm really going to do what I want to do. But now your runway is only 10, 15, maybe 20 years. So the amount of impact you can really make in that amount of time is so much less than had you figured this out when you were much younger. And I bet all of us have that one friend who was kind of a screw off when we were in our 20s, went off the deep end, hit rock bottom, figured it out at 22, 23. And from that age on, they've been on this trajectory. And now they're way higher, doing much more and have had a bigger impact in their life because of the runway they had versus at age, 40, 45, 50, trying to do the same thing. Does that make sense?
100%. I'm thinking of the guys right now.
Exactly.
Because everybody's got them. We got the guy that like our wives don't want us to hang out with because he's the party guy, We got the guy who figured it out, and took off like a rocket ship, in there. I mean, we got them all. Every group of guys that I know has a circle where you could point out one another's, contemporaries, in there. And I find it again, it's absolutely hilarious that the similarities are always there. The avatars line up.
Yes.
They really do. So, okay. I want to get into some detail about this. Why Institute? It's up and running. You're following your purpose and your passion and your why. Here it is. Okay. You say you're taking it to everybody. I just want to ask you directly, who really needs this and what are they going to get from this?
Great question. And, one of the things that was very powerful for me and very scary for me was when I actually articulated our vision and our goal. So our vision is to be the first step in self-awareness, right? There's a lot of great assessments out there. Myers-Briggs, Colby, StrengthFinder, DISC. You go on and on and on, and they're really good. But those are how you take action and not why you take action. So our vision at the Why Institute is to be the first step that people take when they're trying to figure out who they are. And our goal is to impact 1 billion people in the next 15 years. And when I first said billion, scared the heck out of me. How am I going to get, I can't even get to the three people in the room next to me. How are we going to get to 1 billion? But what happens when you say something like, when you create a vision like that, or a goal like that, it's fascinating how many people will raise their hand and say, I want to help you get there. How many people step forward and want to be part of it? And it went from not even a possibility to being a possibility, to being on the path for that. So the YOS stands for your Y operating system. It's your internal motivation. It's also your external message. It's your why, your how, and your what. Why you do what you do, how you bring that to life, and what people can count on from you. And so who it's for is anybody who's not clear, anybody who's unsure of who they are and how to say it. When you can say it, then you know it. If you can't say it, you don't know it. It's just a feeling. It's funny because so often I'll talk to coaches and consultants and they'll say, oh, yeah, we help our clients discover their why. Great. I love it. How do you do it? Well, we read some books and we talk about it. We have some different conversations about it. And then we work on it. And I say, okay, great. Well, the client you're working with right there, what's their why? Well, we're still kind of working on that. We're kind of figuring that out. I say, okay, well, what's your why? They'll say, well, yeah, I'm still kind of working, trying to figure that out too. And that's the typical answer that we get. And if that's the most important place to start, you don't want to not know. You don't want to kind of know. You don't want to sort of know. You need to know. And then you can have confidence, clarity, certainty, direction, passion, purpose. That's where they come from. Without it, you're just relying on hope. I sure hope I figure it out. I sure hope I pick the right thing. So once you know it, then figuring out what direction to go becomes so much easier. Mm-hmm. Figuring out so much becomes much easier. Almost anywhere if the question's how, the answer is why.
Yeah, I think I also gravitate towards this because of the concept of operating system.
Yep.
Now my why is simplify. So as you're nodding here, and I've gone through this, it's simplify, which is really try to ask you very direct, simple questions to get a simple answer. Yeah. Again, why does somebody need to do this? Who is going to benefit, from this? Give it to me in the bullet points. I'd rather work with one person than 20, overall. Meaning like, okay, hey, I've got an investment situation going on. One investor sounds better than 14. Why? Because it's 13 fewer that I have. It seems simpler, and the challenges that brings up, this notion of an operating system. And I talk to men all the time about, if you don't have a personal operating system, then again, how do you know how to operate? So it gets back into the why, into the who, into the how, and into the what, and tying these things together, and then going into the actual steps you need to take to run your life, to actually operate it with a map. So, we're saying that is if you don't have a map, you don't know where you're going, how are you ever going to get there?
You know what I find the most challenging, and this was the most challenging for me, being able to make a decision. You don't even know how. If you walked around and to almost anyone say, hey, what's your passion? Live your passion, even with your kids. Let's say with your kids, you tell them, go find your passion. Go live your passion. Yeah, dad, great. Hey, man, thanks, dad. That's super helpful. Thank you. How do I do that? Well, I don't know. Just go find it. Well, what do you mean? Well, just go start doing stuff and see if you can find your passion, because you really want to live your passion, because that's like the most important thing in your life is to find your passion and live it. Well, great, dad. Thank you. How am I supposed to do that? Well, just go do it, right? That's worthless, right? And that's what we all typically get.
So let me ask you this. Sorry, not to cut you off, but let me ask you this. Okay. That works. You go and you say the how to the why is, here's how you can start with your why assessment. Sorry. Now you actually know. So now you can do something with that. What I want to talk to you about is, in your experience with you were in this situation, but you were fortunate enough that you owned your practice and you had the ability to sell your practice and go follow your passion, which was determined by your why, which enabled you to say, okay, now I have purpose. Now I have process. I'm going to get the payoff of selling my practice so I can go and do this. Mm-hmm. Help me and a lot of the men out there, the ones that we were talking about before, the ones that followed that path, went to college, didn't know what the major in, got a job when they came out of college with whatever major, then they get married, then they have kids, then they're working their way up. They don't own a practice or a business, not that they have to. Entrepreneurship isn't for everyone. But now they also have the house and the cars and the overhead and the school and all of that. And they are not in this position of strength to make this move right now. I've written about this. Hey, quitting your job to just follow your passion in midlife can be galactically irresponsible if you are not prepared. Again, you do not have the runway. You are not able. Entrepreneurship, certain moves like following your passion need to come from a position of strength. Yeah. But I believe there's a delta here too, which is, how can we help you live your best life, knowing who you are? And once you realize exactly who you are, where you might be able to still do your job, but do it better and use the proceeds of that job or career to fund your passions and fund Now You Know Who You Are and allow you to do that better. And maybe over time, at the right time, make the transition. You may have 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever, but I also believe we have an opportunity in this day and age to live better, longer, happier, healthier, and wealthier than we ever have before. So it may not be a life expectancy of 70, 76 for men or whatever it is. We have more. May going to be 20s or 30s. I'm not going to kid you there, but you do have time ahead.
Yep.
What do you say to that?
That's a great question. And I think there's two things to that. Number one, once you discover your YOS, you'll get clear on what you will have passion for. So does that mean you have to leave your current company? No, it doesn't. You can find something within your company where you will be valued for your YOS and you get to live your YOS. So if you find within your own company, you're going to love that. It'll just be so much fun and you won't have all the responsibility of being an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurship is not easy. I don't care what anyone tells you. It is not easy. You are up, you're down, you're up, you're down. It's not a road for everybody. So it doesn't mean you have to be an entrepreneur, but you can still live your YOS within the organization that you're at. Mm. If you do want to have your own business, then, and you want to go get your butt kicked, then you can do the side hustle is pretty much what you're saying, which is what I did. I did the same thing. I was a dentist. I was both for a long time. And then I was feeling like I wasn't doing either well. And that's when, again, you'll reach that point where they're both growing and you're like, I got to pick one. And then I had the right motivation to pick the Y Institute. Mm-hmm. And so it's did that make sense?
No, listen, it makes perfect sense. And guys, I identify with that as well. I think one, in my career path, which was very non-linear, even when I went into the insurance and risk management business, what I was in for 14 years, it's about 14 years in total, the first half of that business was not in alignment with my why or my how or my purpose or any. It was, quite frankly, this is how you do it, chase premium, so on and so forth, go after this, dress a certain way, go after these kinds of accounts, build a book of business, boom, 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 boom. Not very fulfilling authentically to who I was. And having taken some of these tests and assessments, if you will, a lot of the ones you rattled off in there. And now there's the why one. So in the second phase of my career, when I, without leaving, because I could not afford to, as you were talking about earlier, could not afford to have equity or partner. And then the second phase became, okay, well, how do I live closer or as close as possible to what, to my authentic self? And that was basically a five-year process to turn over my book of business into a different type of clientele, saying, hey, I want to grow a beard out and I want to lift weights and I want to wear a t-shirt. Now, and insurance guys don't do that. Oh, maybe they do, because I like to lift weights and I like to. So I started turning over my clients and going after those type of clients. And to your point, without quitting, without leaving, you can differentiate yourself. Going back to your original word, how do I differentiate myself as a dentist? You have to figure that out. It was, how do I differentiate myself from the 10,000 other just insurance guys in Houston? I could have a TV show. I could have a podcast. I could dress this, or I could be, oh, that's the one who lifts weights and does all the supplement companies and the weight companies and the restaurant guy. Be that guy.
You know, what we haven't told your audience, Greg, is what your YOS is. And so I know Greg's why is to do things simple, make things simple, easy to understand. Mm-hmm. How he does that is by challenging the status quo and thinking outside the box. And ultimately what he brings is a way to contribute, add value, have an impact in people's lives. So look what he's doing with his life now. Creating a simple way for people to understand what happens in midlife, live a better midlife by challenging what people think is possible and bringing things that will have an impact in your life. And so you're now living it, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's the second or third iteration of that. Now, reading it now, the wireless assessment now, I can go back and piece together where this was missing, where it was in alignment, and really why I felt a certain way at certain times, good, bad, or indifferent, where I was productive, where I was profitable, where I was inefficient, where I was complicated and chaotic, which is not how I'm wired, compared to simple, simple and contribution in there. So it's incredibly impactful and helpful to be able to design your how based off of that.
Yep.
And I think it applies to anything. And I don't want you to go, like, whether you're running a marathon, what would you do? You would get an assessment, you'd make a plan. Do I have 12 weeks, 16 weeks, whatever, until the actual event day? And you work backwards. Am I starting a business? You know, even how I parent, what I put on my body or in my body. I've been asking the questions around my six Fs: family, fitness, finance, food, fashion, and fun. How can you take this assessment and apply it in every one of those areas?
You've distilled it down to five things, right?
So for me, it's my six Fs. Okay. But yes, I have my five rules now of how to simplify my life. Yes. Which are all based around, there's only a few things that are important to me. And here, okay, is how I have to operate around those things. And if you make it more complicated than that, you lose me.
Yes.
And I lose me. The Midlife Male Podcast is brought to you by my partners and friends at Human Improvement. Clean ingredients with extraordinary benefits, because that's what you're looking for in a protein powder. I need something, okay, that is going to help me improve recovery, develop lean muscle growth, digest easily, help me with gut health. And Human Improvement contains 13 ingredients that have functional benefits. It is a protein powder reimagined to be easier to digest without the weighed down, gassy, bloated feeling that most protein powders have given me. And again, there ain't a shortage of protein powders out there to choose from, and I have tried a ton of them before landing on Human Improvement as my Midlife Male approved everyday go-to protein of choice. Remember, we have a choice in what we put on our bodies and in our bodies, and I choose to use Human Improvement. Guys, check it out. Go over to buyhi.co. That's buyhi.co. You're going to save 15% on Human Improvement protein when you use the code MIDLIFEMALE. Check it out.
So you have five key things and six Fs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's it, right? That's it. I mean,
effectively, at this point, that is my entire life, if you will. Right? You
that's
say, okay.
Part.
Right. You say, look, if my definition of success has shifted from salary and title, if you will, to family, fitness, finance, food, fashion, and fun. Call it a more balanced portfolio. Great. Now, how do I actually make that successful? And you go back to like what you're talking about, which is what is your operating system? Hey, knowing what's important is what's most important. Who told me that? Well, my why assessment tells me that. I tell me that. And when they align, you go, okay, they're right. What you think and you feel is actually showing up on the page. It's showing up as the results of the intention. You said it. If you don't know where you're going, you'll never get there. That's my rule number two. If you aggregate and curate and eliminate from everything that's out there, now you've simplified it down. Take everything out there, curate it down to what works for you, and kick out everything else. It can't get simpler than that. If you don't put it on your calendar, it doesn't exist. Can't get simpler than that. What time am I talking to Gary? 4:30 Central. Guess what? Gary's here. It aligns with everything that you sent me also as the results of my time. And you talked about this too in your challenges with everything you have. Grace, gratitude, and latitude. Like, unless we're kind to ourselves, because we beat the crap out of ourselves for all the mistakes, failures, everything along, but yet you keep going. And so the similarities are there, and it all makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Feels right.
It feels right. And here's the other side. If you are not a data person, and I have never been a data person, even though I'm a simple person, you'd think, hey, just look at the data, do what the data tells you. I had it backwards. You should do what you want, to be freewheeling, to have passion. You need to be kind of, you know, loosey-goosey and unstructured and everything else. Mm-mm. It's not true. Had it backwards. Mm-hmm. Didn't work for me very well that way. I started to get more disciplined, prepared, consistent, and accountable. Look at the data. All of a sudden, things got a lot better. The space opened up. Time opened up. Profits increased. Productivity increased. Stress and anxiety went down.
That was going to be my question to you. For your listeners, when you were not in alignment, so now you discovered your YOS and you started looking back. That's what everybody does. They go backwards and start trying to connect the dots. So when you went back and you were not in alignment, what did that feel like to you? Take us into a story of when that happened.
Yeah. So there were several periods of my life where I was not in alignment. And here's the other thing. I mean, I'll even fast. I think we still fight being pulled out of alignment. Mm-hmm. So even though you know everything, you still actually do fight urges, or you do fight people pulling on you. Because again, I'm 5.5% of your population, apparently. So there's 94.5% out there that I'm going to struggle with. And you're going to come across that too. But when you're out of alignment, and when you can look back at these situations and time periods when I was there, it's actually eerily similar to what I hear from a lot of guys about midlife crisis, for example. Mm-hmm. What's happening with that? It's a lack of alignment. It's a lack of purpose. Is this it? This is not what I thought my life was going to be. This is not what I thought I was going to become. Why? Because you're right to an extent. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's not aligned with who you really are. Mm-hmm. It's not really aligned with your why. So then the hows, the hows are just perpetuating what's inauthentic to begin with, which we know is exhausting. If you are chasing the authenticity where it does not exist, it is exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happens. We just see it, or I see it mostly, at that tipping point of middle age. I don't think it's any different in your 20s. If you're listening in your 20s or your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, so on and so forth. And it doesn't matter whether you're a male, female, or any, whatever. I mean, it's all the same. I think it's the same. I think you either know or you don't.
You do or you be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're so busy doing that you forget about being until you've had enough doing. And then you got to look at the be and like, who am I really here? Like, what's this all about? And it's a fascinating journey. And I'm so glad you're at the stage that you're at with helping so many people figure this out and pushing their limits, right? Simplifying it, pushing them outside their box, and helping them have a bigger impact. And if you could do that all day, every day, like you do now, how does that feel to you?
Well, that feels tremendous. And it's part of, again, what we're doing right now is also part of this aggregating and say, okay, out of everything that's out there, guess what, guys? I get the chance to talk to Gary. I get the chance to talk to his team. I get the chance to learn. I get to take the assessment. Then I'm curating it down going, guess what? It works because I'm looking at the results. I'm reading the results. The results align with everything in here. And then you go, okay, guess what? This doesn't get kicked out or eliminated. This stays. And now this gets promoted and talked about to other men in similar situations, which is all of us guys. Mm-hmm. You'd have a hard time at this point convincing me that you couldn't benefit in one way, shape, or form from taking an assessment that either validates what you already know, mm-hmm, or, which would be a blessing, which would be wonderful. But I don't think that's the majority of the case. I mean, what really happens is it tells you a lot of stuff that you don't know, but you know is right. The second you see it and you read it and you absorb it, because there it is. It's that feeling that you describe. You go, uh-huh. Yep. That's what it is. That's what's been pulling on me for however long. And in your busy concept there, I think what distracts us from it or keeps us from it is that hustle, grind, perpetual motion, 24/7, sleep when we're dead, follow the path, do all these. And then all of a sudden you're on that wheel. So you never really stop or take the time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
To figure it out, because you're also afraid if you stop and you figure it out, you're not going to like what you find behind door number two anyway. So you.
Very true. Very true. You're speaking my language. This is a very common conversation that I have with people once they discover their YOS, because it all, the light bulbs go on, kind of like it has for you. And you spend a lot of time studying this stuff. This is
a lot of time listening now, which is also listening, and how many similarities and how many similar stories are out there that are applicable to what you're doing and helping to resolve it and helping to provide solutions to these challenges that guys are facing. Now, I've got one for you that just kind of entered my mind as we're doing. So you're the entrepreneur that runs the company. You've figured out, again, you're in alignment, let's say, if you will. You've got a couple of hundred employees, so on and so forth. And you go, wait, if I give this to my employees, I don't know if I want all my employees finding out exactly. I could lose people. I could be shifting jobs. And I know you do this on a personal basis, but you also do this in the corporate environment. And I'm interested in the challenges and like, kind of, hey, you know, what are the catch-22s? What are some of the challenges you go up against for that guy that thinks, maybe, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to go give this to all my people or do all this because of what might happen in there?
If that's the mindset of the leader, then I wouldn't want to work with that company. But I work with a lot of CEOs like you do. And typically the very first thing that the CEO will say to me is, I got to have this for my spouse. That's the first thing they say. Second thing they say is, I got to have this for my team, because I want to know who I have on my team. Do I have the right people in the right place doing the right things? That, you know, get them on the bus and put them in the right seat is a great concept from Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. Mm-hmm. Very hard to do in real life unless you know their YOS. When you know their YOS, very simple to do. So what we do with the executive team first is create a matrix that has, you know, on the left side, who they are and then what they do and then their why, how, and what. And then the team will really quickly be able to see for themselves, do we have the right people doing the right thing here? If we do, great. If we don't, doesn't mean they're not good. It just means let's put them in a place where they get to do what they love to do, because this is really important. There are people out there, Greg, that can simplify things like you can, but they're not, that's not their why. They can do it, but they don't love it. You do it and you love it and you eat it up and you do it all day, every day. So there's a huge difference between can do and love to do. So if you build your team based on love to do, you're going to have an inspired company. If you build your team on a can do, they're going to run out of energy. So which do you want? Are you trying to build a real company or are you trying to just protect people where they're at? So somebody who doesn't want to know, that's okay. That just doesn't mean it's somebody that I want to spend any time with. But I rarely run into that. And I know you're going to go speak to a whole CEO group now real soon. And that's what's going to happen is I got to have this for my spouse and then I got to have this for my team.
But it's such a good answer for a few reasons. One of them is, though, you also talked about the shift into abundance, from scarcity to abundance. I think just knowing, again, having the confidence that there is plenty out there. If this is not how that CEO thinks or that person, you know what? There's plenty more. Mm-hmm. There's plenty more. And again, part of knowing this and using the information and using the data is so that you don't fall back into those traps of working with the wrong people the wrong way at the wrong time or any time. Because the reality is, again, you don't have to. There are plenty of clients, good clients for the Y Institute. I've learned there are plenty of good clients. Had I stayed in the insurance industry, the right kind of clients, plenty of good coaching clients, but there's just as many, if not more, that are not the right ones. So understanding what you say no to and what you say yes to and who your ideal is to work is so important.
Yeah. The number one criteria for working at the Y Institute, first of all, is they got to love what we do. They got to love what we do. If they don't love what they do, what we do, I don't care how good you are at what you do. I don't want you on the team. And I didn't come up with that. That was a Steve Jobs thing. If you listen to him, when he talks about mm-hmm. Apple, he said their number one criteria was, if you love what we do, we'll find a place for you. If you don't love what we do, I'm not going to find a place for you. But I feel the same way with people that we work with. If they don't believe what we believe, that knowing your YOS is the first step, why would I want to work with them? There's so many people that already believe this. Those are the ones we want to find. Those are the ones that value you, appreciate you, pay their bill on time, refer their friends to you. Those are the ones you're looking for. So here, that's a really important thing for the audience to think about is you're looking for people who believe what you believe. But first, you have to know what it is you believe in order to articulate it to attract the right people. So you remember back when we were talking about my dental practice, we stopped talking about what we do. I'm a coach. I'm an insurance salesman. I'm a dentist. And we started talking about why we do what we do and what we believe. And when you start to articulate what you believe, you attract to you people that believe the same things. And you repel from you people that don't believe the same thing. Mm. It gives them the opportunity to raise their hand and say, yeah, Greg, I believe that too, man. You're my guy. I'm in.
Now, I had even a client of mine that had said something similar to me, and it stuck about we get the client we deserve. But to your point, I think we get the client we deserve. We get the partner we deserve. We get the wife we deserve. We get all these based upon, again, what are we attracting and what are we repelling by what we put out there, what we do or do not do, how we operate again. So it's not a surprise. It's not random. It's by design.
If I could give the audience a tip on how to articulate your why. So here's why it's so critical to know your why, because when you talk about what you do, you connect to the neocortex part of the brain. That's the part of the brain that's responsible for rational and analytical thought and language. Right? It can understand lots of facts, data, facts, figures, features. So if you talk about facts, figures, and features, you connect to the neocortex, but the neocortex doesn't make decisions. Decision-making doesn't happen there. So somebody could say, yeah, Greg, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I get it, man. But let me think about it. When you talk about why you do what you do and what you believe, you connect to the limbic brain. That's the inner part of the brain. That's the part of the brain that's responsible for feelings like loyalty and trust. 100% of decision-making happens there. So when you say, here's what I believe, it goes right to the limbic brain. And then it gives them the quick answer. Do I believe that or do I not believe it? Yeah, I believe it. Boom, I'm in. Or no, I don't believe it. I'm out. So I'll give you an example. When Apple launched their iPad 3, most successful launch ever, $2.5 billion in a weekend, they started their launch video by saying, we believe that technology is at its best when it's invisible, when you're only conscious of what you're doing and not the device you're doing it on. And then they told you how they did that. And lastly, they told you this is our tablet PC. So they went, why, how, what? So they connected to your limbic brain first. So what that did was it gave you the opportunity to say, yeah, I believe the same thing, that technology is at its best when it's invisible. So if you believe that, that's the right product for you. If you don't believe it, it's not the right product for you. And that's okay too. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Makes perfect sense. And not only does it make perfect sense, but you go back to the very basics of, again, how I'm wired. It is simple to understand. It's simply put out there. It's simply received and we get it. Okay. And I think that, I mean, at the core of what Apple is, and I've got 19 different Apple devices like on my desk, you know, right now, the core of Apple has always been about simplicity.
Yep.
Simplicity in design, simplicity in application, simplicity in usage. Apple was always less. Fewer ports, like everything was all about simplicity in there. So yeah, it makes perfect sense. Gary, here's because this is super important. Can anybody, I just want to, can I know this, but can anybody do this? How do people find the Why Institute? How do they learn more? How do they get their YOS, their discovery done, you know, whether it's for them, for their organizations? We got to make sure we bring it to the people.
Yeah. So I'm guessing if you're listening now that you have already heard even before me about this whole concept of why. Probably not YOS, but you've heard about why. And it doesn't do you any good to hear about it unless you actually know what your why is. I could talk to you all day long about what every famous person has said about why, and you'll agree with it. But if you don't know your why, it really doesn't do you any good. So that was my story, right? Same thing. My story was I'd heard about it enough times and I was pissed off about it. I'm going to go freaking figure it out. And then I'm going to make it useful. So if you want to know your why and your YOS, just go to whyinstitute.com. You can buy it there. It's not expensive. To discover your why is $47. To discover your YOS is $97. That's nothing compared to the value that you're going to get from it. So we've made it at a price point where pretty much anybody can do it. But that's where it really has an impact in your life is when you know it. So go figure it out or go find it, and then you can start using it. So go to whyinstitute.com. There'll be a place there where you can decide on why or YOS. The only, if I were you, I would just do YOS, because what'll probably happen is you'll discover your why and say, crud, I want to have my how and my what too. And then you will have to upgrade to the YOS. So I would just discover your YOS, and then you'll know. Right now, you're thinking, I think I might know my why. I kind of think I know it. I'm pretty sure I know it. That's so different than where Greg is right now. And like, he's got it. He knows it. He is sure. There is no question about it. It's got to be simple. It's got to be different. It's got to have an impact. And you now know where you're going to find your passion, what your alignment, what to say yes to, what to say no to. I mean, it's crystal clear for you, right?
Look, I keep it open. Quite frankly, I've been keeping it open during coaching calls. I'm keeping it open while I was working on my deck today for the upcoming keynote, going, okay, is this in alignment? Is this simple? Is this clear? Am I complicating this? What phrases are even in there that can be replicated, kind of, you know, even reworked through so that, again, thematically, it is authentic, relatable, credible, and ideally aspirational is what this gives you. So guys, I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staring at all three of them, you know, as we speak right now. Gary's in the other corner of the screen, you know, while we're doing this, but I highly recommend it. Check it out. You know where to go. Gary, this has been great. And there's a lot more to come on this. So thank you so much for being here today. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing your episode,
okay,
that I did with you. Looking forward to getting this one out there with everybody, and looking forward to sharing a lot more of that combination between why, how, what, you know, to really get guys where they want to go.
Very good, man. Thanks for having me, Greg. I really appreciate it.
It has been a pleasure. Guys, if you like what you have heard on the podcast, and I know you have, not only go out and visit Gary, visit the Why Institute, go get your OS done. Make sure you also give us that 5-star rating, leave us a good review, share the show with your friends, keep the Midlife Male movement growing. And until next week, I am out of here. Take care, guys.
If you're interested in coaching and taking this conversation deeper so that you can achieve your personal and professional goals, be sure to head over to midlifemail.com and check out the Work With Me page to explore options.
Kia SUV is capable of taking you far. But when you use it locally to help your community, you go even further. Whether that's carrying cargo, bringing your team with you,
ready,
or navigating new terrain. Power up your capability with the right Kia SUV. Do more with the Kia Sportage, Kia Telluride, Kia Sorento, or Kia Seltos. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. always drive safely.